Western countries, including Australia, have welcomed the death of Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. The Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, Foreign Minister Maurice Payne and Defence Minister Linda Reynolds say this ends his leadership of, quote, a murderous terrorist group responsible for widespread misery. Lydia Khalil is an expert in the Middle East and in counterterrorism. She's a research fellow at the Lowy Institute and a director of Arcana Partners, a strategic consultancy firm. When I spoke with her a short time ago, I began by asking about the significance of his death and the fact that he was found in northwest Syria.
We need to be careful in terms of overstating how much his death will have an impact on the organization. However, given the state of the Islamic State at the moment, where it's lost its caliphate, there are developments happening within the Syrian conflict that can affect how it functions, and being mostly operating as an underground insurgency without a clear leader available to replace Baghdadi, it certainly is significant. In terms of where he was found in Idlib, it was a surprise to many watchers of the group and counterterrorism analysts from the outside that he was found in Idlib for a number of reasons. Firstly, Idlib is not known as a particular stronghold of the Islamic State. In fact, it's a stronghold of rival jihadist factions like al-Qaeda and al-Qaeda-affiliated groups who are sworn enemies of the Islamic State. So the fact that he was found there and that information has come out to suggest that he had been there for a number of weeks, if not months, is quite surprising because we had originally thought that he was most likely to be either in Iraq or around the Iraqi-Syrian border, which is on the other side of the country. So there's a lot of interesting conclusions that could be drawn by the fact that he was found in Idlib.
There was a $25 million bounty on his head. Just how powerful was he?
Within the Islamic State group, he was quite powerful. He was the leader of the organization. He was the face of the organization. But I'd also note to your listeners, too, that the Islamic State had a deliberate strategy of keeping some of its leaders in the background and a deliberate narrative of saying that our group is beyond any one individual, that we're fighting for a greater cause. And there's a structural and organizational reason why they did this, because obviously, they know that they are a target of many enemies and a target of militaries around the world. And so they wanted to de-emphasize individuals within the group because two other previous leaders have been killed beforehand, and many of its lieutenants have as well. So they wanted to make sure that they kept the narrative going that they were bigger than any one individual and that they were a movement. But that being said, he did have significant sway over the organization, operational sway, and so his death will have an impact, at least in the short term. In the long term, there's a lot that remains to be seen. The long-term future of the organization is going to depend less on individual leaders and personalities and more on circumstances on the ground in Syria and how the group is able to deal with those changing operational realities.
Islamic State's caliphate has disintegrated. Thousands of its fighters have been captured, and now al-Baghdadi is dead. Is this the end of Islamic State? I note before that you said there wasn't an obvious successor in the wings.
Unfortunately, I think it would be too soon to say that it would be the end of the Islamic State. This is an organization that has had leadership losses in the past. It's quite a resilient organization, as these movements are. If you take a look at either insurgent or jihadist or non-state actor movements throughout history, many of them remain resilient just by the very nature of how they're organized. And so, unfortunately, I can't say that this is the end of the Islamic State. But in the short term, it is significant that he has been killed. It's also significant that now we're hearing reports that the Islamic State spokesperson has also potentially been killed as well in a double decapitation strike. So the killing of those two, the spokesperson and the leader, is quite significant and a blow to the organization in the short term.
With the US now abandoning the Kurds in northern Syria and withdrawing from the region, what are the chances that another group will emerge from the splintering of radical organizations there?
Well, there are already a lot of other jihadist groups in the Syrian theater. Where Baghdadi was killed in Idlib, you have a number of other jihadist factions aligned with al-Qaeda and others independent, some Turkish jihadist groups as well. So the question is how many of Islamic State supporters will remain with the Islamic State, look to regroup and reorganize their structure in there and continue on their insurgency in Syria and Iraq and potentially link up with other global actors, and how many of those groups might be folded into or incorporated into those other jihadist organizations, which is what many of them would want to do, particularly the Al-Qaeda line factions.
Lydia Khalil, thanks for joining AM.
My pleasure.
And Lydia Khalil is a research fellow at the Lowy Institute.